I want to talk to you this morning about God's dinner bell. And I believe he's ringing that bell this morning. Amen. And I want to talk to you about what I believe God's dinner bell is. And God's dinner bell is in you. And you're the key to it ringing. And something that God's desiring to do. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Say, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord? Jesus came to us with the message of the kingdom, the gospel. He brought that message. The Lord Jesus himself came and spoke it, presented to us this great salvation which we have. And he says it was confirmed unto us by those who heard him. So they heard Jesus, and he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, making disciples of all men. So Jesus spoke it, and they heard it, and then they went and spoke it. And they went and shared what they heard. Now, listen to this, because this is God's dinner bell. God also bearing them witness. He bore witness and he stamped with his approval what they were saying. They were saying what Jesus said. They were preaching what Jesus told them to preach. And God stamped it with his approval. And he did that both with signs and wonders, with many different miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. In other words, the Lord bore witness to the accuracy of their message through miracles and through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It was through signs and wonders and miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit that people knew it was the Word of God. Miracles are God's dinner bell. The miraculous, the supernatural, it's God's dinner bell. Jesus used it all the time. He rang that bell. And people came. Father, we love you so much, and we thank you for your word today, and we thank you, Lord, for being right here in our midst. And I ask you, Lord, to just have your way in our service and speak to our hearts. Confirm your word, Lord. Speak to us in your power. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. According to Jesus, we should be living in the supernatural. According to Jesus, we should be living in the supernatural. We should be experiencing the supernatural. I read it's been a few years back, and some of the stuff I get that's for pastors and ministers. We're in a major cultural shift in our nation right now. And the cultural shift that is taking place in our nation is affecting our churches and our ministries, and how we have church and what we do. And there's a lot of churches that are doing a lot of soul searching right now about how to have church and what we should do and what direction we should go in. And this article I was reading was saying that a lot of churches that have traditionally been Pentecostal or charismatic or full gospel, whatever you want to call them, are making a conscious decision to back off a little bit because they don't want to offend anybody. They just want to come together and have church and kind of keep it nice and just don't want it messy and don't, you know, because people get offended and all. And I read that and I could feel just in my humanity, I could feel that temptation. I could feel that pull because I'll be honest with you, it's easier. You just come in and you go through the motions and you have a nice little thing and you feel good and you pat each other on the back and you go home. And I could feel that pull. And I remember having a long conversation with Daniel about it. I said, you know, we're going to have to make a decision. This was years ago. We're going to have to make a decision about the direction we go in because that's what a lot of people are doing. And I prayed about it. I thought about it. And I just got to tell you, I have long believed that when you come to church, you come to have an encounter with God. I believe with all my heart. He said, where two or three gather together, I am there. And I believe the Lord is here, and I believe God wants us to have an encounter with Him. And I decided in my heart, I can't move away from the move of God, and I can't move away from the supernatural. That's what we're here, is to have an encounter with God. Amen? 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 Hallelujah. Yes, give the Lord a hand clap. So, you know, we believe in the gifts. We believe in the move of the Holy Spirit. We believe in those things. And we say we do. But I want us to not just say it. I want us to do it. If we're going to be that church, then let's be that church. And let's allow the move of God. And I'm going to tell you this morning why that's important. It's important because that's how God confirms His word. I just read you the verse. He confirmed His word, not just what He spoke. Listen, they came to Jesus and here's what they said. We know you are a man of God. Why? Because nobody could do the works that you do unless He came from God. They didn't just hear. They saw. I won't say that again. They didn't just hear. They saw. They saw the miraculous. They saw people healed. They saw people delivered. They saw demons cast out. They saw the dead raised back to life. They saw ears unstopped. They saw the miraculous. They saw the power of God. And when you see someone demonstrating the power of God, you want to listen to what they have to say. It confirms the word. In other words, that's God's dinner bell. How many of you know what a dinner bell is? Back in the older days, before cell phones and pagers and text messages, and when you had to communicate with somebody on a ranch or on a farm in a rural area, you had people that were working, family members were spread out, and everybody was working and milking cows and doing this and doing that, working in the field and the farm and the crops and mending a fence. And, you know, they were working on a ranch or on a farm. They were spread out. And when dinner time came, when I was growing up, it was supper. Does anybody remember supper? Anyway, when it got to be dinner time or supper time, they would ring a bell. And I was going to get one of them little triangle things, and I couldn't find one, but I wished I had it. I'd ring it. But imagine that I have it, and I'm ringing it. So they would ring that bell, and they're loud. They'd ring it, and people would hear that and know that it was time for dinner. And they could drop what they were doing. The day was done and they could come in and there was a nice meal waiting for them. This is how God calls the world. Oh, you need to see this. God, folks, listen to me. God has set a table this morning. And it's quite a spread. I'm telling you, it's full. The Bible says that God wants to bless you. God wants to bless your life. It don't mean that it's going to all be perfect. Doesn't mean that. Doesn't mean you're not going to walk through a hard spot here and there. We all do. But God, the Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous. Amen? So God's telling you right there, there's going to be some stuff. We shouldn't be shocked when it comes. Amen? We live in a fallen world. And there's stuff in this world, and it rains on the just and the unjust. Have you noticed that? When it rains, you get wet too. They don't say, have you noticed when it rains, Christians don't get wet? Have you noticed when it rains, they don't need umbrellas? No, it rains on everybody. Because you live in a world where when stuff happens, it affects all of us. We're not exempt from that. So God says there's going to be some stuff. Many of the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers us from them all. It's going to come, but God's going to see you through it. He'll bless you, and He wants to bless you, and He has set a table. And I believe this morning God is ringing that bell, and I want you to hear it. I want you to hear it because God is calling you and He's calling the world and He's saying, I've got what you need. How many of you believe Jesus is the answer for the world? Amen? Amen. Jesus is still the answer. Jesus is still the answer. But He's ringing that bell and He's saying, I want you to come. But how do we hear the bell? You see, that's when the miraculous happens. That's when it gets people's attention. That's when people are drawn because they see the power of God. Mark 16, 17, and 18 says, "And these signs will follow them that believe." How many in this room believe? Here's some signs that can follow those who believe. "In my name, they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing," and don't you come in here next week with a snake. Because that's not what this is telling you to do. "They'll take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." These signs follow those who believe. What he's saying, Jesus said, "Greater works than these shall ye do." He is saying that these signs follow the word of God. They confirm the word. They are the dinner bell that God uses to tell people. It's not just folks. This is one of the reasons churches are becoming more and more ineffective. It's one of 6,000 churches closed last year. 6,000 churches shut their doors because of a lack of attendance and a lack of support and a lack of interest and apathy and indifference. And it's spreading, and it's because you know why? It's not relevant. The church is not relevant. And a lot of them are just dead. There's just no life. There's no life. And the world looks at that and says, "What's that for me? There's nothing." But I'm here to tell you, when God's ringing that dinner bell and the miraculous is happening and lives are being changed and people are being set free and people are being healed and people are being touched by the power of God, that's different. Because that's something you cannot argue against. That's something, but we have to, as Scott was saying a moment ago, we have to release that. It starts with us. We have to believe. The disciples could have heard everything Jesus did and did nothing, but they did something. They took it and they believed. Mark 16, 19 and 20, listen to this. He goes on to say after the verse I just read, "So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth," who's they? The disciples, the followers of Jesus, you and me, the church. "They went forth and preached everywhere." They went forth telling the good news, preaching the gospel, telling people Jesus loves them. Jesus died for you. Jesus wants to save you. "The Lord working with them." I want you to see this. "The Lord working with them. They by faith went and did what he told them to do, to proclaim the word of God, to preach the gospel, to preach the good news of Jesus. And when they did, the Lord worked with them." And listen to this. "And he confirmed his word with signs following." When we preach the word of God, and that's part of our problem, we're getting away from the word of God. We're getting away from the good news and the gospel. God's called us. Folks, we need to preach the truth. Preach the word. Preach the love of Jesus. And when you preach the true word of God, signs, that word is confirmed. God rings that dinner bell. Multitudes were attracted to Jesus. People were longing to touch him. People wanted to come in contact. People were just thronging after him. Why? Because the word was being confirmed. You couldn't keep them away. They were just everywhere. Amen. Amen. I love that story of the woman that was coming to touch Jesus, and Jesus stopped. And the Bible says they were thronging all around him. And Jesus stopped and said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples were like, "Are you kidding? What do you mean, who touched you? There's people all over the place. What do you, I mean, you know, people are patting you on the back, shaking your hand. What do you mean? What do you mean, who touched me?" And Jesus was just trying to say, "No, I'm not talking about a pat on the back. And I'm not talking about a shake of the hand. I'm telling you, somebody in this crowd really touched me. Because I felt healing virtue flow out of my body. Somebody in this crowd meant business. Somebody in this crowd touched me." And that's what he's talking about. He's talking about when we gather together and we come after him with that sincere heart that I'm desperate today, God, for something from you. John 10, 37 says, Jesus even said, now look at this verse, a powerful verse. Jesus even said, if I don't do the works of the Father, believe me not. Do you see this verse? Here's what Jesus is saying. If I'm not doing the works of the Father, you're not going to believe this stuff. Don't believe it. Because you're not going to believe it. There's nothing to believe. Listen to what he's saying. There's going to be works. There's going to be manifestations. You're not just going to hear, you're going to see. Jesus was going to do something. Paul said, I came to you in the demonstration and might of the Holy Spirit. There was a demonstration. So when we lack that power, we're not walking in it. We're not exercising it. Well, to do that, you have to be conscious of it. The next thing I want to tell you about is you have to seek it. And Scott said that this morning talking about desire. You got to want it. Folks, listen, we have a choice, okay? Just going to be honest with you. You can come in here every Sunday and we can all just sit here. We can go through the motions. We could do that. And I can tell you if we do that, nothing's going to happen. It's just not. And you're just like everybody else. See, I watch things through the week and I see God moving awesome throughout the world. I've watched crusades where God is moving in miraculous ways, makes my hair stand up, and my heart starts to beat within me. And God, I'm so hungry for that. I want to see that manifestation of your glory moving in the people of God in America, in Laurel, Mississippi, in Jones County, in Forest County, Lamar County, in right here. I know it can happen, but we've got to start expecting it. You know what we're like? We're a lot like, the Bible says that in the book of Acts, Peter had been arrested and the church had gathered together. They didn't have phones and cell phones, but they got word around. Peter's been arrested. We need to have a prayer meeting. And they all came together and started praying. And what were they praying? The Bible says they were praying for his release. God set him free. Bring him out of prison. And all the church was praying. And while they were praying, there was a knock at the door. And one of the servants got up to see who was at the door. And she opened up to see who was standing at the door. And she let out a scream. And they were like, what's wrong? And she said, they've already killed Peter. We can stop praying. And they said, whoa. How do you know they've already killed? His ghost is standing at the door. It never occurred to her that Jesus answered the prayer and broke his chains and set him free out of prison. In a lot of churches, if a miracle was manifested, a lot of people would go, oh, I can't believe it. I'm shocked. Why? Because we don't come expecting it. We don't come anticipating. I remember years ago going to the Brownsville revival. And we got there, service started like at 7 o'clock. We got there like at 2 or 3. And I remember there was a line outside the church, across the church campus. It was this big, long line at like 2:30 or 3 o'clock. And I asked somebody, what's this line for? And they said, that's what people waiting to get into church tonight. And I said, what? I've been in church my whole life. I've never seen people line up at the door to go to church. They'll do it on Black Friday to get in to get a deal on something. They even set up tents and spend the night. I've never seen people lined up to go to church. And I went into the service and the music was good, but it wasn't anything like what we didn't have. The preaching was good, but it wasn't anything I hadn't heard my whole life. And people streamed down to the altars and people were being set free of drugs and lives were being changed. It was awesome. And riding home that night, I was scratching my head saying, God, I don't, what's the deal? I mean, what's going on? And he reminded me of that line. He said, you remember that line? When people show up hungry for me and people start showing up anticipating and people start showing up wanting a miracle and people are willing to wait in a line to see me, I got news for you. I'm going to show up. Amen. And that excited me. Amen, church. I can promise you, when God's people get excited about church and start showing up anticipating, and you get up on Sunday morning and say, you know what? I believe we're going to see a miracle today. I'm excited. I'm anticipating the move of God today. I believe God's going to touch somebody today. I believe God's going to deliver somebody today. I believe God's going to set somebody free today. Hallelujah. We got to start thinking that way, to desire. You have to seek it. Corinthians 12, 31 says, covet earnestly the best gifts. Let me ask you something. Don't answer, but just in your heart, are you coveting earnestly? What are you chasing after? What are you after in your life? What drives you? What compels you? What are you coveting? What are you chasing? See, if we're not chasing God, then that's why we're not seeing. Amen. Amen. He says, desire the spiritual gifts. Desire. Desire. Oh, God. I pray, and me included, Lord, I pray this for me too. God, awaken a desire, a passion, a fire in the people of God this morning, and wake us up out of the coldness and the apathy and the indifference, Lord. Light a flame within us this morning and stir up your church, God, so that your church stands on its feet again as a mighty army and becomes the church of the living God, full of the fire of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Desire. You see, God's gifts are always flowing. He don't turn them on and cut it off. You know how we'll come to church and we'll say, boy, God really moved today. Like, you know, God was sitting up there in heaven saying, okay, y'all get ready. We're going to really pour it on them today. We're going to surprise them. Today's going to be special. No, God's always moving. He's always flowing. It's always flowing. It's you and me that changes. We're the ones that cuts it on and off. Did you hear that? We're the ones that cut it on and off. The glory's always coming. The Shekinah is always here. The power of God is manifest all the time. We're the ones that change and get cold and get indifferent or not, you know? It's us. My last point is, the anointing does not come and go. I want to say that again. The anointing does not come and go. Look at this verse, 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you. Whew. Oh, glory. It hadn't gone anywhere. The anointing doesn't come and go. It comes and it rests. It comes and it abides. It comes and it stays. It comes and it dwells. The Holy Ghost, the anointing of the Lord, it comes and it sits and it stays. But I'm the vessel and I'm the one that changes, and oftentimes I change how God flows. The Bible says God is love. I want to show you something about how God moves, and I've learned this through the years. God is love. Love is his trigger. Love is the thing that motivates the heart of God. God loves people. Folks, the gifts and the anointing and the manifestation and the flowing of the Holy Spirit and all that, it's not so we can come in here and have a hallelujah hoedown and feel good and go home and say, oh, wasn't that good? That's not what it's for. God is interested in changing lives. God wants your life to be blessed. God wants your life to be good. And he loves you and he flows with love. And the way that he does this is often when you feel compassion flowing out of you for somebody. You know how I know when to pray for somebody? I have this overwhelming love flow out of me for them. Sometimes when I'm looking across the congregation, I'll see a face and I just feel this love for you, this just the love of God for you. And I know I'm supposed to pray for you and minister to you. But when you experience that, you need faith to act upon it. Amen? Because sometimes it happens when I'm at the grocery store. And I saw a little lady the other day that she's just struggling. I just, my love just went out to her and I went to help her. She was struggling with walking. And I helped her. And then while I was there, I said, can I pray with you? Because I believe in the power of prayer. And she said, oh, please pray. And we prayed and God touched her. I believe that. But you have to do something about it. You may be carrying somebody's miracle. You may be carrying somebody's blessing. But you have to, by faith, release that gift that is within you. That's God's dinner bell. That's God's way of calling out to people and saying, you come because God loves you. Let me tell you this, I'm going to close. When they were, Oppenheimer and the Manhattan Project, and those guys were developing the atomic bomb, there was a race between the Soviet Union and Germany and the United States to develop this bomb. There had been enough science to indicate that it was possible. That if atoms were split, there could be a reaction and this bomb could be developed. When the atomic bomb was developed and in the science and process of developing the atomic bomb, they found out it would be 1,000 times more powerful than all the bombs that were dropped in World War II. I want to say that again. This bomb, the bomb dropped on Nagasaki and Hiroshima, was 1,000 times more powerful than all the bombs dropped in World War II. That's scary. That's amazing power. But listen to this. While they were developing that bomb, other scientists started seeing something. And what they started seeing was there was so much heat generated from an atomic explosion, from the reaction, that it was possible that the heat would ignite neurons. And they came and they told the leaders of our country, we think it's possible to create another bomb. And they said, what? They said, another bomb. It would be called a hydrogen bomb or thermonuclear. And it's 1,000 times more powerful than an atomic bomb. It's unthinkable. The world has never seen what would happen. It's unthinkable what would happen if a hydrogen bomb was... It's just... The destruction is massive. But they said how it works is it has to have a trigger. It has to have a detonator. And they said, what would the detonator be? They said, the detonator would be the atomic bomb because it generates the heat to ignite the neurons. In other words, you have a explosion, explosion. So it's boom, boom. That's the way a hydrogen bomb works. The atomic bomb, boom. And then that ignites the hydrogen bomb and it's boom, boom. And I got to thinking about that and I thought, God, you're a God of great power. You've created things in this universe. But I got to thinking about that verse that says, the entire Godhead dwells within me bodily. And that verse we read where he says, when they begin to preach my word, I work through them. Do you know what that is? That's boom, boom. Amen. Oh, that excites me, church. That's boom, boom. In other words, when I, by faith, I'm the atomic bomb. And when I, by faith, believe in the Word of God and believe in the miraculous, it sets off an explosion. It sets off the move of God. But when I do that, it ignites heaven. Amen? It sets heaven off. And God becomes to work on our behalf. And you get that boom, boom effect. Oh, glory. Glory. I'm hungry to be an instrument in the hands of God. Amen. We've seen God move awesome around the world in different places. But it's, folks, it's time. It's our time. It's our time. But a group of people have got to dare to believe. I want you to stand with me. Hallelujah. And I want to challenge you this morning to become hungry for the gifts of the Holy Spirit, for the move of God. It's different in all of us. I want to say something. We're not all the same. God doesn't move the same in all of us. It's going to look different in different people. So don't try to imitate somebody or think I got to act like that or I got to be that. That's not true at all. You just need to be what God wants you to be. You just need to move the way God wants to move through you. The quietest person in this church might be one of them. God might be moving the most powerful through. Amen. You don't know. You don't judge these things by outward appearance. It's not about how loud it is. It's not about how demonstrative it is. That might be part of it. I love the shout. Amen. I love the glory. But that's the key, is just coming with a willing heart and saying, God, I'll be an instrument. I'll be the boom to your boom. Amen. I'll be a detonator. I'll be a trigger. Oh, glory. And if you feel that this morning, I want you to come and stand in the front. I am willing to allow God to flow through me whatever He desires. I will let God have His way in me. And just to come stand, you're just saying, here I am, God. Here I am, God. If someone's miracle is in me, I don't want to hold that back. Hallelujah. Oh God, ignite the fire, ignite the flame in your church, God. I don't want us to become indifferent. I don't want us to become cold. The Bible says in the book of Daniel that the enemy will try to wear down the saints. And I actually believe that that prophetic statement is taking place in the world right now. The enemy is trying to wear down the people of God. And all over, people of God are getting tired and weary and wore out and giving up and just, you know, because that's what he said he would do. He would wear down the saints. And we're seeing that strategy. But I challenge you this morning. The Bible says, be not weary in well-doing. Church, this is the time to get a second wind. This is the time to take a deep breath and say, God, here we go. Here we go. And why is that important? Because God needs vessels in the earth through which to flow. God could have done this a lot of different ways, I suppose. But he chose 12 common men. He said, guys, I'm going to use you. I need you to go out and do this. And he's saying that to us this morning. We are the disciples now. Do y'all understand that? We are his hands and feet in the world. Amen. So start telling people Jesus loves them. Amen. Start praying with people. Start believing. Start believing in the miraculous. Let's lift our hands just as surrender to the Lord.